Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Saturday Draft Live on Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet. You can find us on Spotify, iTunes, Anchor, wherever you get your podcasts, we're on it. So go check us out. Give us a listen, share episodes far and wide. We'd love to see that so much. You can find us on Twitter on Suplex Retweet. We've got our Facebook page. We've got our community group. We've got our website, eatsleepsuplexretweet.com. You can find our full back catalogue of episodes on there. So please check us out. We've got Instagram. We've got YouTube. We've got TikTok. We're all over the shop, so there's no reason that you can't check us out in some form of social media platform, so please do. And I'm joined as the ever-present on Saturday Draft Live recently after his Mexico hiatus. Dave, welcome back. How you doing?
Thank you for having me back, and you'll have to excuse my slightly toned-down voice today. I've been hit with tonsillitis all week, so if I do start coughing at any point, I can only apologise in advance.
You're all right. You're all right, my man. You're all right. And we're joined by one half of the Goats Incarnate, the Listeners League representation of this season. Tom, welcome to Saturday Draft Live. How are you doing, my friend?
Thank you for having me. I'm doing good. So far, the draft's going pretty well, and it's only going to go up from here. So I'm excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
That's what she said.
Fuck's sake.
we'll crack on and get going. And Dave, I'll come to you for the first two here as they're both on your team. But Dominic Mysterio creeping his way into the top three this week on 11 points.
Yep.
He is 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth overall with 34 points. Everyone wanted Dominic Mysterio, I think, when they're getting to that kind of middle round, and you and Gary were lucky enough to wrap him up at that point. How happy are you with Dominic Mysterio right now on your team?
Yeah, very, very happy. I'd have to thank my partner, Gary, for cleverly pointing him out during the draft selection, because I think I was a little bit hesitant at first, not going to lie. But, you know, Dom's come leaps and bounds this entire season, you know, getting wins on Raw and a mixed tag match win on SmackDown as well. So plus various appearance points across both shows, obviously trying to build that feud up with Daddy Mysterio as well. It's my only regret is not putting the captaincy on him at first, but that's in hindsight, because if we did put the captaincy on him at the start of the season, he would have been top scorer overall this season. But you know what? That's the gamble you take with these draft selections. But we're just happy that Dom's been a big scorer regardless.
You'll be hoping to reap the rewards come WrestleMania anyway, because your captain right now, Cody Rhodes, 12 points overall. He's sitting third and 48 points in the season so far. If you weren't going to get Rhea Ripley, you're going to get Cody Rhodes, I think, from drafting from second position.
Absolutely.
But your captain, obviously, your best performer on your team, you would assume that he's winning at WrestleMania, but is he going to win at WrestleMania? Not that I'm trying to plant the seed of doubt. They want Roman Reigns to get the 1,000 days.
Oh, it's difficult to say at this point. I think it's almost like the booking of Roman versus Drew at Clash at the Castle. Like, do they keep the epic reign going, or do they give Drew the big win in his home country, the big WrestleMania style win that he was that he rightfully earned all the way back in 2020? I think it's going to be a catch 21 at this point. You know, it could go either way, but I'm loving the feud so far. Plus, Cody's getting regular wins on TV. You know, he got a win over LA Knight on Raw, and also appearing across SmackDown as well. But I don't know if you'd noticed as well, but during the end of SmackDown, there was a shot that cut to him backstage watching the TV at the correct angle. And I was saying in the group chat, if that's the one appearance point that helps Men on a Mission 2.0 win this draft by a single point, I will be howling if that backstage appearance does it for us.
So if you so happen to win, does that make you a three-time winner?
It makes me a three-time winner. It makes Gary a two-time winner. And it makes us back-to-back tag team season winners. So that would be a pretty impressive accolade to have in the archives of Saturday Draft Live.
Would you, you join the illustrious club of just myself being a three-time winner? You know, a good Tasman company, I think. But someone that looked to stop you along the way, Dave, is Tom and David Cameron. And Tom, I'll come to you quickly, so we'll talk about your team a wee bit later on. As I said, it was, if you didn't, if Dave didn't get Rhea Ripley, we'd have got Corey Rhodes. But you and David Cameron managed to get Rhea Ripley. 16 points this week's overall, 52 points for the season, so second position. Was it always in your head to take Rhea over Cody?
Me and Goat have had some discussions as soon as I learned that he would be my tag team partner for this this season. But the first thing we both said was Rhea's going to be number one. We knew she was going to get some good points for us. In my opinion, it should have still been more, because I feel like she's not getting the amount of matches that we were hoping for. But the appearances have been good. I mean, overall rank two is pretty solid. I think she's been performing well. And I'm honestly surprised by the fact that Cody Rhodes has gotten so many points, because the TV appearances have been there, but the amount of matches before this feud have been far fewer than he has now. So as soon as I heard their pick, I was like, yeah, that's a good pick, but it's not the best pick. But I've changed my tone on that. So yeah, congrats to David and Gary for picking him up.
Yeah, it's quite an interesting one, because they're the two precious ones. You've got to protect them for their main events at WrestleMania. I think regardless, it's still been a great choice, and I think that Rhea's done very well, obviously, same position ahead of Cody Rhodes right now. I imagine that she will stay ahead of Cody Rhodes the rest of the season, so I think it was very wise to take Rhea over Cody. But we'll quickly go over.
Will she, though? I mean, Rhea's only 4 points ahead. She's only 4 points ahead of Cody in the top 10 of the season. I mean, one captaincy win from either of them, you know, could easily flip the table.
I obviously, now Cody's appearing too, it'll be a lot closer, but I still think there's far more Judgment Day appearances to come out between now and WrestleMania, especially. You've got Edge, Bala, Dom Mysterio, Charlotte against Rhea, and she's appeared in everything to do with that. I think we'll see that come through, and I do. And if I'm throwing my two cents in, Dave, I don't think Cody's winning at WrestleMania. That's my thing. As much as it'd be good to see, I don't think it's happening. I think they'll go for the 1,000 days. But that's my hot take, you know. But I've been known my hot takes been shit before, so that's it. We'll see what happens. But we'll move on to our top table. In last position, we've got Grant and Kwaku with Alba Goo Graps 2.0 and 80 points. And with 21 points ahead of them is the pair of fannies, myself and Ryan DeBleach. We're truly a pair of fannies right now, sitting near the bottom of the table. 1 point ahead of us is Serenity now of Scott and Ross McLeod, 102 points. And then we've got the Transatlantic Heartbreakers in fourth position, 115 points. Ryan Gallagher and Chris Lopez, a good return to the draft for them so far, I'd say. 2 points ahead in third position is Andy and Stephen in the morning. Andy Mitchell and Stephen Wilson. Then there's a big
That could have been done better, Jack, honestly.
Yeah, look,
Andy and Stephen in the morning.
There you go.
That's it. That's it. That's far better than me. Get you on this show, Tom. That's it should be. 17 points ahead of them is yourselves, Tom, and the GOAT, Goats Incarnate, 134. And 6 points at the top of the table ahead, 140. Men of Mission 2.0, David Hockney and Gary Kernahan. The table, yes. Certainly. It's even from, so obviously there's 60 points between first and bottom, but then 39 points between first and second bottom. It's still fairly tight. As a season goes, Dave, from what we've seen before, there's never been that kind of, obviously 39 points is still quite big, but to see that between that and the bottom table, it's quite something.
Yeah, it really is. I think we've all had our heads screwed on here when it comes to WrestleMania season, probably with the exception of Grant and Kwaku, given that they've went pretty much AEW heavy in a very WWE-esque season. But there is definitely a lot of competition, you know, not just at the bottom of the table. You know, you guys, you and Ryan against the McLeods, you know, there's 1 point separating you guys. The battle for third between Andy Stephen and Transatlantic Heartbreakers again, you know, 2 points just separating them. And obviously between Men on a Mission and Goats Incarnate, only 6 points separating, you know, first and second. It's we're about 2 weeks away from WrestleMania, and it's getting very, very down to the wire. You know, all it takes is one bad week for one team and they could see themselves sliding down the table, much like we saw with Andy and Stephen, who dropped to fourth at one point this week, only to then just bounce themselves back into third place. So everything can change on a dime. All it depends is, you know, what team has a good week and what team has a bad week.
Exactly. Now, it's a couple of weeks ago, and Dave, there's been interesting developments happening in the Listeners League and the Listeners League Cup. So it's the mystery of your favourite segment of the show. Tell us what's happening in both, my friend.
Yes, so looking at the top five of the Listeners League so far, we have Jonathan Napier with Flex Fridman on 157 points. Fourth place, just 1 point ahead of him on 158. It's Ross Henderson with Spike Dudley's medical insurance bill. And then as we go into the top three, we have veterans Listeners League performer Gary Morris on 166 points, Team Banger Brothers and Sisters. And again, 1 point ahead of him, the Listeners League is also very competitive this season. We have John Sly with Judgment Day One-ish on 167. But once again, you know, somebody who's been making the rounds at the top of the Listeners League this season, it is Ross Brady with the Big Banger Bros Theory on 170 points. Largely helped by the fact his team captain is Rhea Ripley, one of the big scorers this season. He also has Asuka, who had a fantastic Elimination Chamber performance, and he also has Austin Theory, Solo Sikoa, Damian Priest, so a good mix of Judgment Day members and a few sort of mid-card talent keeping him afloat. But I think what's letting him down, though, is the tag team selection of McIntyre and Sheamus, who we now know is going to be in a triple threat at Mania for the Intercontinental title. So I think tag team points are going to be out the question, apart from a few appearance points there. But still a very, very close contest. Only 13 points separating fifth place from first. So could easily go either way. But as we go to the Listeners League Cup, we now have our two competitors who will be competing on WrestleMania Sunday to win the first ever Listeners League Cup. So winning by a margin of 72-64 from the Lewis, Dangour and Brit Rest brackets, it is former winner Matt Smith, who's now going to be in the final, going up against Tam McKay, who beat Jonathan Napier 62-53. So those two will have their Listeners League face-off where our total scores will be finalised by WrestleMania Sunday. Whoever has the highest score by the end of WrestleMania will be declared the first winner of the Listeners League Cup and will join the main league next season. And if they also win the Listeners League table, they will also draft first in the main league. So it's a lot of competition going on here, both with the overall table and the tournament brackets in general. So your final is going to be former winner Matt Smith. Can he make it two in a row for the Listeners League? Or will it be Tam McKay looking for his first big Listeners League win?
It certainly will happen, but I think for next season, it will certainly prove very well. I think I don't know what's going to happen. Matt Smith or Tam?
I mean, if I was a betting man, I'd go with the former winner, Matt Smith, because obviously he's won the Listeners League before. He knows what it takes to win a season like this. And looking at his team overall, if I just get my analysis cap on. So Matt Smith is actually currently sitting ninth, or joint eighth, I should say, on 149 points overall with Team Booty Woes. His captain is Rhea Ripley. He has Paul Heyman and the Usos as his other WWE representation. But it's also worth knowing his team's also 50% AEW picks. So Jade Cargill, Jamie Hayter, and MJF, all of whom are champions. So I suppose regular title defenses for Jade Cargill might help him out. But, you know, with the appearance of Taya Valkyrie now in AEW, is that thrown into question now? And is there any really guarantee that the Usos are going to retain at WrestleMania? I doubt it. So I think Matt could be having a bit of an uphill battle against Tam, who currently, funnily enough, has Dominic Mysterio as his team captain, who's got 68 points overall. He also has Rhea Ripley, Solo Sikoa, the Usos, and Scrap Daddy as well. So it's a very mixed team, to say the least. But actually, looking at the teams on paper, I think Tam's got the edge here.
Interesting, interesting. Obviously, anyone that wins it is welcome to come up to the main league. And speaking of the main league, just like before we get into the team analysis, the Ghost Incarnate, we do have a captaincy change. Stephen and Andy are changing from Asuka, who they feel the winds have dried up recently, and they're putting all their eggs in one basket with Sami Zayn, which I think is pretty much a no-brainer to make that. But regardless, I think both are going to win titles at Mania, but in the run-in, Sami's just going to have so much more exposure over TV, I think, between the two shows in that lead-in. I think it makes absolute sense to mount that final push to challenge both your teams in the top end of the table. I think it makes sense.
Yeah, I agree. Interesting one.
I think it's a good choice, but it's always risky to change captaincy when your captain has been the number one overall point scorer.
That's very true.
Yeah,
I think also because there is that 14-point gap, but whereas Sami Zayn, I think, is going to make the points up between now and then. I think it'll be quite an interesting one. What are you going to say, Dave?
But then again, you know, Asuka getting the points in the Elimination Chamber was I think Andy and Steven's initial goal.
Yeah,
because obviously, you know, we've seen in the past how many points a very good Elimination Chamber performance can get, and just imagine that with the captaincy applied. I think Asuka's done her part for the team now, and I think they're just capitalizing on what is probably most likely going to be a KO and Sami victory at WrestleMania. So I respect this decision. I think it's a very smart decision, and you know, like you said, they're capitalizing on maximizing Sami Zayn appearances for the last couple of weeks.
Well, if we look at it in the captain versus non-captain, if Asuka didn't have the captaincy on her right now, she'd be 33 points, and if Sami Zayn had the captaincy on him, he'd only been 36. So they would have lost 30 points if they didn't have that happen. So it's pretty. Yeah. It was the Elimination Chamber was huge for what they were about, for what they were looking to do, and arguably they probably needed to do this. They needed to make that final stretch. So I think it's a smart decision to make on that captaincy change.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll leave talking about Andy and Stephen. We'll talk about our guest team, Tom, the Goats Incarnate. Obviously, you and David Campbell managed to draft first, and you got Rhea Ripley, who's currently 52 points, second overall. Bianca Belair in 17 points, who's 17th overall. Charlotte Flair in 9 points, who's 34th overall. Finn Balor, 15 points, 21st overall. McIntyre and Sheamus on 15 points as well, who are classed as 22nd, but obviously tied in points. And MJF with 26 points. Is 8th overall. So this is the kind of the part of the show when we have a guest on, Tom. We kind of not we do some grilling, but we ask some questions as to the draft strategy and what you think might happen. But I usually go first. But Dave, I'll let you go first. I'll let you put on the hat to begin with. What question you got for Tom regarding the team?
Oh yeah, you're too kind. But Tom, I wanted to ask about your tag team because McIntyre and Sheamus. I think that's a page out of my partner's playbook, you know, getting two solo stars who are likely going to be appearing together quite frequently. And fair play to you, know they've had a few tag team victories at the start of the season, but do you think now that your tag team's going to be a bit of a hindrance now that they're effectively going against each other in the Intercontinental title feud and all you can really rely on is appearance points going forward?
I don't think that's going to be the case. I think leading up to Mania, the thing that they're going to go with is having them tag against members of Imperium with like the obvious tension building angle afterwards. But I think it's going to stay stable up until Mania to where they inevitably collide because they both want that belt. But yeah, I think they're still going to rack up some match points because I think Gunther is going to send out his goons to deal with them and injure them before their big match. And he's going to fail because Sheamus and McIntyre are just going to keep winning up until Mania, get loads of points for us, and be a big contribution to our inevitable victory.
I think you're kind of right there, Tom. I don't think it's a hindrance. I don't think it has been a hindrance the full season. They're only 1 point behind your tag team, Dave. The Unbox, you've got 16 points overall, and McIntyre has 15. I do think that match against Vince and Kaiser is going to happen. They'll probably win that, and they'll get their appearances. Then they'll get their pay-per-view appearance, and they won't lose anything from that either. I think there is only gains. Even if it is small gains, gains are gains. And we've seen that, and it's worked wonders for them so far when they're only a point behind the best tag team this season. So I think it's props to take in McIntyre and Sheamus and getting them so late on. I think it makes it even better.
I think they might actually end up being the number one tag team at the end of the season, but that's all left in the air for now. So we'll see.
Yeah, come and think of it. There hasn't been a lot of big scoring tag teams this season, now that you've brought that up. But the Young Bucks still at the top. McIntyre and Sheamus, as you said, only 1 point behind. And then just behind them is the Acclaimed on 14.
Yep.
Yeah, but it's all pretty tight. A question that I've got is the first three-round draft strategy of Rhea Ripley, Bianca Belair, and Charlotte Flair. Obviously, you're wanting Rhea Ripley because won the Rumble, going to be in that Mania match. You then take her opponent. Well, you probably didn't think you were taking her opponent to begin with. And then you took Bianca Belair, well, Charlotte, who you thought it would be. So you knew she was going to face one of them at one point.
Mm-hmm.
I think the way it's looking is that Charlotte and Bianca's both going to lose. I think we're going to have new women's champions in both ends by the end of it. Obviously, your captain of Rhea Ripley will help kind of nullify that. But do you think taking both women's champions, and if they both lose, affects your chances of winning this tournament? Oh, this season, sorry.
That's a good question, actually. We took Bianca and Charlotte mainly to... ensure ourselves that no one else would be getting them. Since they were champions, they are champions, they would get loads of appearance points, we thought. However, Charlotte has been very disappointing on that front. We definitely expected more out of her. When it comes to Mania, I think Bianca might actually win. That's my unpopular opinion. So she won't be letting us down, and yeah, Charlotte has been a letdown all season, so we can take Mania and add that onto that, but Rhea will more than make up for it by winning the title at Mania.
I think, see, put it in comparison, because I think Charlotte's not done well at all. She was third round and it's picked up 9 points. Chelsea Green in the fifth round's picked up 8 points.
Yep.
That kind of shows the levels of how Charlotte coming back and winning the title. She's not really been there to do much this season for you, which is a bit unfortunate. And obviously, in previous season, we've seen Charlotte doing very well, but to only have 9 points so far and potentially lose, it's a bit dire straits for Charlotte. But obviously, you're hoping Rhea wins, and if Bianca does get the win, then obviously it knocks that theory I have out of the park. So you'll be kind of hoping on that for that final push. I don't know, David, if you've got any kind of other final questions for Tom.
Well, according to reports, it looks like Charlotte Rhea is going to be main eventing night one, given that obviously Rhea is the Royal Rumble winner and they get to main event one of the nights. But I'm still a bit thrown up in the air as to why, who's going to win from both women's championship sides. Because Bianca set a record of her own as the longest reigning African-American champion in WWE history over, I think it's like 330 days, something like that. But, Tom, do you think you might have been a bit hasty picking both women's champions back-to-back, given that there's potential that they could both lose?
Well, it was a risky one. I'll give you that. But I think, in the end, it's going to pay out. As I said, I have faith in Bianca extending her reign well beyond WrestleMania. So in order for that to happen, she needs to obviously win. It was a risky one, but... we'll see. We'll see how it pays off. I have faith in our later round draft picks as well. In the end, I think the captain choice has been an absolute home run of a pick. The other two maybe expected more out of, but I think the latter three, Finn Balor, McIntyre and Sheamus, and MJF are still going to rack up some big points. And I think it might even still be a victory, even though we're 6 points behind right now.
I think Finn's going to win your Hell in a Cell match. I think that's going to be pretty huge. MJF at last round, a lot of folk were like, that's an interesting one. Is that going to work out? And obviously it has. He's eighth overall, getting that, the winning the 6 minute Iron Man match, and then being appearing on Dynamite as well. I think that's a brilliant pickup for the last round. I think.
Yeah, we couldn't believe he was still available at that point, but we will take it.
I think it's going to be very, very. I honestly can't tell who's going to win this between your two teams. I do not know. Also, I'm uncertain. If the uncertainty around Cody is making me think that if the Ghost Incarnate could do it, I'm not sure. That's the only thing that's thrown it for me, but I'm not entirely undecided on that. But we're waiting. We'll wait and see come the end of the season how the table shaping up. But I think that's all the time we've got for Saturday Draft Live today. Tom, thanks for coming on. You've been a great sport in the show and handled the questions well.
Thank you for having me.
And Dave, as always, thank you for appearing yourself once again.
Yeah, and again, powering through all this much like Scott did last week.
You did well, man. You did well.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've been Jack Graham, and I'm feeling fine. We'll see you all next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Scott McLeod.
And I'm Grant McGrobby.
We are the host of the monthly show on Eat Sleep Suplex Retreat East Meets West,
where we'll bring you all the latest happenings, reviews and big events from New Japan and the land of the Far East.
You can remember to check that out on the Eat Sleep Suplex Retreat podcast feed on all good Android podcasting sites like Anchor, Spotify or iTunes now.